Thank you very much, Stephen, for your invitation to preach this morning. St. Agnes, as many of you know, St. Agnes is our preferred home away from home when I'm not at work on a Sunday. We often have the joy of worshiping with you, and it's great to be here today to celebrate with you the feast of your patron, a patron whom you share with the great city of Rome. St. Agnes is the patron saint of Rome. And you'll notice on your bulletin cover, there is a colored photograph. I think you usually have a colored illustration on the front. But today, it's one of my holiday snaps. It is a picture of the Piazza Navona in Rome. And imagine you're taking the picture. You're standing at the north end. It's early in the morning. Later in the day, the piazza is going to be crowded with tourists. This is one of the great tourist spots in Rome. People come to soak up the sun. They come to, when the sun isn't shining, they come to be accosted by street hawkers selling them umbrellas. And they come to look, among other things, at the glorious fountain of the four rivers, which you can just see in the background of this picture. It's the great jumble of statuary that's crowned by an ancient Egyptian obelisk about halfway down the square. It was carved by that wonderful 17th century sculptor Gianlorenzo Bernini. So artwork aside, though, the first thing you notice when you come into the Piazza Navona is its rather odd shape. I call it a square, but it's anything but square in shape. It's long and thin, a bit like a very wide street, very wide but very short. And the north end, where you're standing in this picture, is curved. You can just see the line of the curve in the curbstones across from the camera angle here in this picture. The whole square is shaped like a tall, skinny letter U. And in this picture, you're standing at the very bottom of the U shape, looking south, looking along the length of the Piazza Navona. And the reason for this odd shape is that the Piazza Navona echoes the shape of a much older structure on which it was built. And that earlier structure is the Stadium of Domitian. And that was opened in the year 86. Essentially, the Stadium of Domitian was a racetrack surrounded by tiered seating. So as you're looking at this picture, you look down the far end, that's the start of the racetrack, and the runners would come racing down towards you, run around the bend, and back up the other side of the letter U to finish it again back at the far end of the course. This wasn't the kind of arena for gladiatorial combat that you might think of if you've seen Gladiator or Spartacus or any one of those sort of sandals and togas epics. This wasn't a place for combat and fighting and shows. This was a place for athletic competitions like foot races. Now, like most of ancient Rome, the original Stadium of Domitian was about 15 feet below the level of the present city. So you have to imagine everything's much lower than it is in this photograph. Just to the right of where this picture was taken, you walk along to a little entranceway and you can buy a ticket and go down to the original street level. And then you're actually on the original level of the racetrack at the Stadium of Domitian. And around the racetrack, you can see two levels of arcades. We've all seen pictures of the Colosseum with those rings of arches surrounding it. Well, it's a bit like that, only, of course, not as tall, not as big, but two levels of arches that would have surrounded and contained the seating for the spectators. And these arcades, these arches, would have housed shops and workshops and brothels. Now, in January of the year 304, a young woman of good family was brought here. She was 12 years old. We would call her a girl, but in her time and place, in her culture, she was considered a marriageable woman. Her name, of course, was Agnes. And we are told that she was an exceedingly beautiful young woman. There were no shortage of noble Roman boys chasing after her. She did not lack for very eligible suitors. However, there was a catch. Agnes was a Christian. And she had in her heart and in her mind already consecrated herself to Christ. She would not marry. She refused her suitors. And this infuriated her suitors. It infuriated her father. As it says in the gospel this morning, father will betray child to death. And it infuriated the Roman authorities because what Agnes was doing was challenging one of the central social codes of her culture. She was insisting on being an independent young woman. And the men in her life were beside themselves. They did not know what to do with Agnes. And about this time, there was a renewed wave of persecution of the Christian church. It was the last great wave of persecution before Christianity became legal in the Roman Empire. It was spearheaded by the Emperor Diocletian. And so at this time of persecution, these men who had been spurned and rejected by Agnes denounced her to the authorities as a Christian. There they thought, that will deal with her. She was brought before the magistrate, and this young girl was condemned to be dragged naked through the streets of Rome to one of the brothels that surrounded the stadium of Domitian. And there she would be abused by any man who was willing to pay for her. But she did not submit. And when she refused to submit, she was brought to trial, condemned, and put to death by the sword. The body of Agnes was received and treated with great reverence by the Christian community in Rome. It was taken to the catacombs, or some catacombs, just outside the walls of the city and buried there. And within a few decades, a great and glorious church had been built over the site of Agnes' burial, because in a very few decades, Christianity had become legal in the Roman Empire. That church is now a ruin. There's very little left of it, but immediately next to it is another very beautiful church, not quite as grand, but very nice, thank you, called Sant'Agnese Fiore le Mura, St. Agnes outside the walls. And that church, which dates from the 7th century, is where the body of St. Agnes is buried today. A couple of centuries after that church was built, in the 9th century, a church was built in the city of Rome, on the site, it was believed, of the brothel where Agnes was killed. That church no longer exists, but in the 17th century it was replaced by the church you see in the photograph, that dome and the two towers immediately opposite the Fountain of the Four Rivers. That glorious building today is where you can see one of the very, and pray before, one of the very powerful relics of St. Agnes, because in a small side chapel, quite a small room, you go in into one side of it, and there on your right is just quite a small altar with a quite elaborate silver reliquary on it, and a glass window in the middle, and inside that window you can see the skull of St. Agnes. It's a child's skull. She was only 12 years old. Agnes died at the hands of a patriarchal culture that could not tolerate her independence of mind, body, and spirit. The Christian faith had offered Agnes a real alternative to her culture. And she died because she chose Christ over her culture. In a culture that saw women as the property of men, Christ had given Agnes something, freedom and dignity, is what Christ had given her. Christ had given her freedom and dignity that her culture could not give her. Christ had recognized her full and complete humanity in a way that her culture could not. And Agnes did not so much choose to die for the Christian faith as she had already chosen to live for Christ. She chose to live for Christ, and in the light of that decision, nothing else mattered. To die a free woman was better than to live as a man's property. And so today, Agnes invites us, encourages us, challenges us to look at our culture with the same critical eye with which she looked at her culture. What are the blind spots of our culture, where we just don't imagine anything's wrong? It's just the way things are. What are the limitations of our culture? What are its shortcomings, its failings? Where and how does our culture limit and restrict human life and human flourishing? And we don't even notice it because it's just part of the culture. And it's hard for us to see that and to know that and to answer those questions, because for us, well, culture for us is what water is for a fish. It's just all around us. It's what we do, who we are, how we live. We can't imagine life outside it. And to be pulled out of our culture feels like death. But Agnes assures us that it is not. You can be pulled out of your culture and find in Christ something deeper and better and more glorious than your culture can ever give you. Today, when you walk into the church of Sant'Agnese in Agone, that church in Piazza Navona, when you walk into that little side chapel and look at that tiny, fragile child's skull of 12-year-old St. Agnes. Just a few yards and 17 centuries from where she died. When you go in and stand before that skull, you can hear her calling to you still. To you and to me, to all of us who want to follow Christ. And she's saying, do not be afraid to embrace Christ, just as I embraced Christ. He takes nothing away, and he gives you everything.